It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Down at the Blake Street Tavern, I'm Rod Sharon in for Zach by Stokely and Zach. Hey, real quick note, change for the Rockies. Antonio Sensatella scratched for tonight. Jeff Hoffman will get the start against the Mariners.
I love Jeff Hoffman, a guy that I was impressed with last year, and a guy, obviously, that, you know, had some was on the sent to the minors earlier in the year. You know, they brought him back up, looked good in relief appearances. They sent him back down, but he finally gets a chance to get back in the starting rotation. And so I'm excited to see him tonight. I am. I think, you know, last year he impressed me with some of his performances. So I'm excited to see him go out there and get this opportunity again tonight. And I think he pitches a heck of a game.
Two blisters on the same staff, Bettis and now Sensatella.
What's going on with these blisters? You got to get that taken care of. But obviously no fun to try to pitch.
I don't really know how you prevent a blister.
Right. No, I don't think you can. You know, it's just one of those things that happens sometimes. But hopefully both of these guys, when you talk about these blisters, will be healthy after the All-Star break. Get those guys back because both of them were pitching really well.
Is there a such thing as addition by subtraction in sports? And by that what I mean, and at times, when you remove someone from the element, it can kind of alleviate pressure in the room, maybe alleviate tension. Sometimes it's not even personal. Maybe it's just a glut at a position. You got too many guys. But is there a such thing as addition by subtraction? I bring it up, Stoke, because I look at the Avalanche last year, and it just seemed like as soon as the Matt Duchene trade went down, something broke loose, and that team started winning more games. And I'm wondering, can the Nuggets be in a similar situation now that Kenneth Faried is going to be out of this team? He's going to be out of that locker room. He's not going to be around those younger players. It's relatively well documented since really George Karl left, kind of some of the attitude and some of the body language, that sort of thing. Is there such thing as addition by subtraction in a locker room in sports, though?
Absolutely. You look at guys sometimes that just aren't good teammates.
Name names.
That aren't team players. and I certainly know a few of those guys. And all of a sudden, when you get those guys out of the locker room, it just makes everybody take a deep breath and put a smile on their face. But absolutely, if you get rid of those guys, it can just create a different locker room, a different vibe on the team, and especially in small settings like a basketball team, where you know you're always around these guys, and you only got 11 guys on the roster. So if you have any guys that aren't team guys or good guys, and especially with the Nuggets, when you got a young roster, you don't want that rubbing off on these young guys and their work ethic, seeing how if you have an older guy that's not all about winning basketball games and not all about team and bringing those young guys down. So you don't want any distractions like that. And so when you look at the Nuggets getting rid of a guy like Faried and maybe some of the issues that he's had in the locker room, I definitely think it could be an addition to this basketball team, especially since he's not performing on the court. He's not giving you anything there. So you free up from his contract, you free up from the luxury tax, but also you get that guy out of the locker room if he's causing any kind of issues, and you don't want that on a young basketball team.
Boy, and you know, it's something they've been dealing with for years. You know, he gets this contract kind of based off what happened in that 57-win season and Team USA, and it just never.
What happened to him after that? Team USA, he was unbelievable. That one.
I heard Troy Rank say this morning, Schlaer at the Evans, he was running, out jumping, and dunking on people smaller than me. And Troy was afraid of himself.
Okay.
And Troy is in that D-Max size category.
That is true. But man, he looked great. I mean, he looked great, and so it was,
you know,
just
it
after
could be
that,
a lot
happened
of different
but,
things.
But I mean, he was a good
I think
player.
That
it wasn't
George
like
Karl
he wasn't a good player
fit
in the NBA.
You know, they were running, throwing him lobs, things like that. I don't know if he was if defense was as important to him. And then you had a coaching change come, and they wanted to play more of a half court style initially, and that didn't necessarily fit him. And I think there were some clashes with various coaches that he's been here with, and just wasn't a fit. And at the same time,
did he shut it down after he got paid?
I don't think he shut it down. I think you might have had a situation where a guy had an inflated sense of what he was, because he was a popular player. He had the Manimal nickname. The fans wearing
his jersey.
Well,
they paid him that way.
And then so they paid him like a star. I mean, I can remember talking with him one time in the locker room, and he said, "It's my team." Which you don't hear. Usually, you don't have to say that. Like, you just kind of know when it's somebody's. Like, you never have to hear LeBron James, you know, or Kobe Bryant walk up and say, "Well, this is my team." Like, you just know. So it was a little odd to hear someone proclaim this is my team and, you know, I'm the face of the franchise sort of moniker. I think all that stuff played in Stoke. And quite frankly, I just don't know if some of the other coaches thought he was all that good. They didn't play. Coaches in all sports, but especially the NBA, will put up with a lot if they think you're going to help them win.
Of course, especially in this situation.
Right.
The jobs are on the line, like we were talking about earlier.
They didn't think he could help them win.
And he's not even playing. I mean, he's not even seeing a court at all. I mean, and you're paying him that type of money. That just says all I need to know, that
right.
something wasn't right there with Fareed. And whatever it was, I'm not sure. But, man, you're paying him a lot of money.
Yeah.
Usually you have to do a lot wrong to not be on the court at all.
And my addition by subtraction question was because of some of the things I observed, and I know a lot of the other people who've covered the Nuggets have observed in the locker room. And, look, I'm not saying he was sabotaging teammates, he wasn't, or picking on guys, but just – body language, Stoke, just things you
yep.
would see. I mean, I can recall another Nugget who's not here anymore, Yusef Nurkic, who had similar kind of tendencies. And I'm just wondering, you know, is he watching how Kenneth Fareed is handling not playing? And then when his turn comes not to play, he's like, well, if he's going to pout, I'm going to pout. And it can just be a reoccurring thing. And being insubordinate to your coaches and not necessarily fitting in, do these things add up? And we've talked about it. You keep mentioning it, Stoke. They're a young team, and do you want that infecting Nikola Jokic?
No, you don't.
Do you want that infecting Jamal Murray, infecting Gary Harris, infecting Michael Porter Jr., or do you just want to purge that?
You got to get rid of it. When you got a young roster of a lot of talent, upcoming young talent, you don't want any veteran with a bad attitude or that's going to bring them down at all and show them not how to do things.
Sure.
You just can't afford that. On this type of roster, and they showed
right.
that, you know what, they realized that by getting rid of them, giving
right.
them first round pick, and well, obviously they saved a lot of money.
There was
but at
a
the
reason
same
they
time,
wanted to bring guys like Mike Miller and Richard Jefferson and
yep.
Jameer Nelson into that locker room because they wanted to show positive influences of young guys. And look, I think there's also some guys who are great in your locker room when you're winning, but I don't know if you want them around when you're losing. I've heard Troy Rank used Aqib Talib as an example of that all the time.
Right.
When the team is winning, Aqib is awesome to be around. He's funny. You know, he's still holding guys accountable, but he's just a funny guy to be around. And, you know, everybody likes him. He's personable. He's a great player. But when your team is losing, that act can kind of wear on you a little bit. And so
yep.
I think there's all kind of different types. The just general locker room philosophy is fascinating to me, Stoke, and you spent 15 years in it. Is it the biggest factor in if teams are going to win? Just the concept of chemistry and everyone getting on the same page, or is it just sheerly talent and you overcome all that other stuff? Or does that locker room chemistry, is it that big? Can that overcome
maybe
having less talent?
It's huge. I mean, sometimes it can be overcome. Sometimes bad attitudes can be overcome and you still find a way to win, but to do that consistently is hard to do. You got to have good chemistry in the locker room. You need to have good guys in the locker room, all pulling in one direction, all pulling for team to get the W, and that's the bottom line. It's not about individual stats. It's not about the individual player. It's about this team accomplishing our goals and winning basketball games, and it's hard to do if everybody's not pulling the same direction, if you have one guy pulling opposite of that direction, especially if you don't have a veteran club. If you got a veteran club, look, sometimes those guys can figure it out, right? You can have a couple bad apples in that locker room and figure out how to win games. But when you got a young group and you got a bad apple or two that's pulling in the wrong direction or that isn't behind team all the way, that's a recipe for not being consistent, and it's a recipe for disaster. And you don't want that in that locker room with this young group that has the potential to be a really, really good basketball team for a long time.
And it's the job of the GM to put that locker room together as it relates to the Broncos in terms of John Elway. Case Keenum talked a little bit about how John Elway put the group together. You hear those comments next. Aaron, in for Zach Bye. We're here at the Blake Street Tavern. Stoke, Case Keenum talked with SiriusXM Radio. We were just in the last segment discussing kind of building a roster together in a locker room that works with each other. Well, Case talked a little bit about his new boss, John Elway, and specifically who he's put around him.
You know, he's put some incredible people in place, you know, with Coach Musgrave, you know, Coach Sullivan, our offensive coordinator and quarterback coach, all the staffs, and, you know, they've done a great job. So, you know, having a lot of people in the building is, you know, that have played quarterback and know their quarterback position, you know, it can't ever hurt.
No, look, he's not going to say anything bad. It's kind of like, what's he going to say?
Sure.
But How important is the support system in your mind, kind of especially around a new quarterback taking over a franchise?
Oh, it's huge. A new city, a new team. You want to have good pieces around you, and I think they have done a good job of upgrading it. And sometimes when you look at where the cap room is being spent on this football team, it's on the defensive side for the most part, but they've done a good job, so they don't have a lot of cap room to go out there and, you know, sign the marquee tight end or the marquee, you know, right guard or right tackle. And because a lot of those resources are tied up on the defensive side. But you look at what they're able to do and the money that they did spend by bringing in a Jared Valdir at right tackle, making that trade, by going out there and picking up Case Keenum, and you look at they didn't address the tight end spot, but I like the move at the running back spot by freeing that room up and letting it be an open competition. So moving Leary back to the left guard. I like this group, the draft, with the two wide receivers that will come in and make an impact this year. So you look at the group around Case Keenum, and you've upgraded the quarterback spot, but you've upgraded a lot of positions. And so I agree with Case. You know, he's got some weapons to work with this year, and you'll see a different Emmanuel and Demaryius playing with one quarterback, no quarterback competition. So you'll see the best version of both those guys this year because of the situation that they're in.
Stoke, would you say within their means and their situation, the Broncos literally did everything they could to put the best possible group
around
Case?
I'm not going to go there, Raj. I mean, do you think
there were still moves they left on the table?
Yeah, a tight end, a veteran tight end. That was left out on the table. So I like Jake Butt. Jeff Heuermann looks better this year. But
Don't you forget the tractor. Okay,
that's my guy. We still got the tractor.
Awesome,
we still got
the tractor trailer. Okay. Got a knack for getting open.
He
played like one game, had like six catches.
Right. He's on pace. If we could have played him in every game, I mean, six.
You
would have
won fantasy seasons with that guy.
That's
okay?
Right. He would have had an awesome year. I look at the tight end position. I wish they would have put a veteran in there, had a veteran presence. And there were some guys available that wouldn't have cost you a whole lot. But you know what? They didn't. I do like the moves that they made. It will be a better offense. And hopefully Jake Butt emerges. And hopefully Jeff Heuermann emerges this year so that we're not worried about the tight end position anymore, and that we can say, you know what? It was a good thing that they didn't go out and address the tight end spot and sign somebody, sign a veteran at the tight end position, because Heuermann is looking like the guy that they drafted, that they thought they were going to get when they drafted him. And Jake Butt is everything that everybody thought he would be. And hopefully that's the case. But if you're talking about one position, I look at the tight end group and say, you know, they could have done a little bit more to help that group out and help Case Keenum with a veteran there that has proven himself a little bit more.
There are some guys out there.
Luke Wilson is one that comes to mind for me from Seattle, who's a very productive guy, a very solid tight end that went to Detroit, and it wasn't for a lot of money. Didn't cost him a whole lot. So there was some guys.
Brett Celek. There was some, you know.
Yeah, Brett Saul.
He might be around that Stoke age mark.
Yeah. Let's veteran.
But
no, you're right. I mean, there was some other guys out there.
What about not adding a veteran running back? DeMarco Murray retired earlier today. If you missed that, it was kind of teased by Adam Schefter because he's been doing fill-in work on ESPN this week that he's going to announce his retirement on TV. And then he did announce his retirement on TV. He's only 30. You know, someone like that. Should the Broncos have picked up the phone and put a call? It's the youngest room in the league.
Nope. I like what they have right now. I like the direction that they're heading. With a running back, the thing that you can do with a running back is you can pick one up in training camp and have him ready to go by the season.
If you don't, last year, Stephen Ridley, remember Stephen Ridley was here?
If you don't think that this group's going to be able to get it done, I want to take a good look at them. Take a good look at these young guys, because you see it every single year. A young running back come on the scene and have a great year that people weren't expecting to do it. And so whether it's Royce Freeman, whether it's D'Angelo Henderson or David Williams, whoever, they'll have an opportunity. So I want these guys to get an opportunity to be evaluated. And if they're not getting it done, you know what, then you go out and you can pick up whoever. There's a lot of good ones that are just out there, and you'll be able to pick them up. And they won't need a long time to know the playbook. Hey, go to the six hole. You know where that is? 2-4-6. All right, go to the 8 hole. That's way outside. I mean, that's like that with every running back room across the NFL, so it's not that hard to pick up where to run the football. Either you can do it or you can't.
You didn't mention a certain running back when you went through that list there.
Did I miss one?
Starting running back.
I'm not putting. No, I don't know if he's a starting running back. Who told us that?
I'm going to give you two statements.
I've seen a lot of different guys be the starting running back throughout OTAs and minicamp.
Tell me which statement you think is more closer to the truth. Statement number one: Devontae Booker needs to prove himself during this training camp. Or statement number two: somebody needs to knock off Devontae Booker during this training camp. I'm sure you get the difference between the two I'm talking about. Which one do you think is closer to the truth? Is he the incumbent who needs to be knocked off, or is he coming in and they're like, we need you to show something to
us? Well, if you're going to put me – I hope he comes in and is the guy that, you know, we hoped we'd see more consistently when we drafted him in, what, the third round?
Fourth
round, and the expectations that he had coming in the last year, and obviously he was injured. But I think somebody needs to knock him off. I think somebody needs to take this thing from him for a few different reasons. Look, this thing is wide open. This thing is wide open. They're not just handing it to Devontae Booker. So they're evaluating everybody, every single one. I mean, it could be Philip Lindsay, okay? I'm just saying that's how open they are in this evaluation of the running back group. I mean, they're not committed to Devontae Booker being the starter. So it's wide open. And I think one of these young guys needs to come out and knock him out.
It's interesting, even though we think running back by committee is kind of how the NFL works these days, if they could just get one of those guys to emerge out of this group, they're probably going to be okay. No, just one of them can pop out and just show that they're
the
legit.
One be the man. One be the man. And then you got – I mean, you'll have competent backups. I mean, I guarantee you D'Angelo Henderson will be a very good backup. He'll be a very good backup that will provide a good 1-2 punch if somebody else wins that starting job.
Stokely stoked up. And we'll find out about it next.
What's Brandon Stokely?
Yeah, I'm so stoked.
Stoked up about today.
Roz, the Rockies got things back on track. After losing the first one to Arizona, a team that they lost 9 in a row to at home, they find a way to score 19 runs, and they follow that up with a 5-1 victory to be only back 3 games to the Dodgers. Heading into the All-Star break, got 3 more games against Seattle, and then they're on to the All-Star break, and then they follow it up with a series again against Diamondbacks. It's good to get back on track and let the Diamondbacks know, you know what, we're going to be a different team heading out of the All-Star break. Got my man Jeff Hoffman back in the starting lineup tonight against Seattle. I can't wait to see how they continue to find ways to win baseball games and keep this thing going after the All-Star break. But I like what I'm seeing from the Rockies, and I think it's going to continue. And, Raj, that's what I'm stoked up about.
Brandon Stokely Stoked Up, presented by CSU Global.
That's what I'm talking about! I dig it.
It's good to be stoked up on the rocks. By the way, you heard Stoke mention Jeff Hoffman getting the start tonight. That is because Antonio Sensatella, a scratch, like less than an hour ago, due to a blister. So Hoffman gets called up. He gets the start tonight against the Mariners. Interleague play, Stoke. You like it, seeing an AL team here in town, Seattle?
Absolutely. It's something different. You got to change it up a little bit. And so I like seeing the DH for National League teams and play teams that you don't see all the time. And I think it's cool. Yeah, I definitely like the interleague play. It seems like it was just added a few years ago, but it's been a long time now. I do like it. I enjoy it.
It certainly puts whatever the visiting team is in a big disadvantage, like the Mariners tonight. What are they going to do with Nelson Cruz, their designated hitter? Are they just
throw him at first base?
Just throw him at first base.
Yeah, why not?
What are they going to do? Then, of course, when you have the NL team go to the AL Park, they got to figure out the DH, which seems a little easier, although you don't have that guy on your roster that's
right.
ready
yeah,
to
you're
do.
Not looking at, before the season starts, who's going to be our DH, like looking for that stick in your lineup that is a DH. So now you just got to find out with your roster who that guy is going to be. But I like it.
This
I think
is a
it's
big DMAC point. Why do we have one league that has one rule and the other different? Sure. It's a sensitive subject with D-Pack.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he thinks he's Mr. Baseball. That's why. But, look, it is what it is. I'm okay with how it is. And is it a little bit different that one league plays it this way and the other league plays it a different way? Yeah, but that's just the way it is in baseball. And I'm okay with it. And I like seeing teams play. And, yeah, sometimes one team is at a disadvantage and at other times the other team's at a disadvantage. But I do like it. It makes it interesting and it makes it unique. And, hey, you got to figure out a way to get it done regardless of, whether you're American League team and all of a sudden your pitcher's got a hit and you don't have the use of your DH or your National League team who's got to figure out who your DH is going to be. It is what it is. Figure it out.
I'm Rod Sharon in for Zach Bye. It's Stokely and Zach. We're at the Blake Street Tavern, one block north of Coors Field, your pre- and post-game baseball headquarters. Stoke, you were gone the last 2 days, so didn't get a chance to get your reaction to the Terrell Owens news. T.O. going into the Hall of Fame, but he's not actually going to Canton for the ceremony. The people in Canton not happy about this, so the reports are they're not going to announce his name along with the Hall of Fame class. Yesterday, Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports, was sitting in for you, and he's saying, you know, look, this T.O.'s being proven right about everything he said, that, you know, the fact that he was this productive player doesn't matter. It's about them, the Hall of Fame people playing by their rules.
Did Frank really say that?
Oh, yeah.
What's wrong with Frank?
Where are you coming down on this?
And I said before this whole thing broke that this is what the Hall of Fame should do. Look, if you don't want to come, okay, well, we're not going to honor you. You know, we'll put your plaque up somewhere, and we'll, you know, you'll be
in
the
mailing him his jacket.
Yeah, well, you'll be in the program, but we're not going to take time out of our program and make this a distraction for the guys that are here by, you know what, letting you have your moment. When you don't show up, when you're so selfish and it's all about you, that you're not going to take the time and realize what a great honor it is, and you're going to hold a grudge because they didn't put you in the first year or the second year. It took them 3 years to put you in. Are you serious? So if you want to act that childish, I'm going to treat you like a child, and you know we're not going to honor you like we honor everybody else. If you want to be honored like everybody else, get your butt up there like everybody else does and realize what an honor it is to be elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame and take part in the ceremonies like everybody else does. And if you don't do it, I'm not honoring you. So I love the fact that they're doing it this way and saying, if this is how you want to proceed, well, this is how we're going to proceed. Checkmate.
You think if any of these Hall of Fame voters could get a mulligan and go back, or they would expect this anyway because it's T.O. But knowing these guys like you do, you think someone would be like, you know what, if he's not going to come, I'm not going to vote for him?
Yep, absolutely.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, because it was just a one-night ceremony, but you're a Hall of Famer for life.
It's a one-night ceremony that you should take a part in. It's a tremendous honor, and you should be a part of it and experience it with your class, with your group that's going in, and not be a distraction to that group. There's a lot of other great, great football players, Ray Lewis, Brian Urlacher, Brian Dawkins.
Headliners.
Yeah, man. Just a lot of great football players. You ought to enjoy that. That's your time. You know, you are a great football player, and you ought to enjoy it with those guys, but also with your family being a part of that. And you can go to, you know, UT, Chattanooga, or wherever, and celebrate it after the fact if you want to. But I think he's really missing out, and he's doing himself a disservice. I mean, those guys won't miss him there, but it's obviously a great time to be able to spend with your family. You know, I got inducted to the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. Nothing like the NFL Hall of Fame, but it was special to be able to spend that time with my family and enjoy the 3 or 4 days that we had together and doing different events, and then also to be able to spend it with my classmates, guys that, you know, I had never met before, but to hear their stories, and it was really, really awesome, and just a fun, a lot more fun than I thought it would be. 4 days, and it was, and that's what he's missing out on, and that stuff you'll never get back. So I got to really show my family, all my extended family that was always there for me throughout my career, and just be able to tell them thanks. And so it was just as special for them as it was for me. And I think he's doing his family a disservice, and I think he's doing his class members a disservice, and he's doing himself a disservice.
That's the big one.
And that's why I agree with the NFL and how they handled this whole thing, and the Hall of Fame, really. This is how they should handle it. Set a precedent.
Himself. This reeks to me of something, even though he'll probably never admit it publicly, he's going to, like, really regret in, like, 2 years and 3 years and 5 years and 10 years.
10 years,
now,
whatever it's going to be.
He
you know,
was bitter
when he gets
at the time,
old,
and he let him cloud it, and he should have just went and had a great time.
Yep, exactly.
And he's trying to make a statement and trying to do something, you know, like you said, he's holding a grudge a little bit. And look, you can be upset a little bit about it. I mean,
you
whatever.
Got
but
in,
you got
though.
In.
You didn't have to wait
it's
10 years.
Now.
You had to wait a couple years. Oh, whoopee-dee. All right? You still got in. I mean, you didn't have to wait 10 years. Was it 3 years after he got eligible to get in? I mean, give me a break.
I just think he's going to regret.
Centered and so selfish, he will regret it. And maybe it's not in 5 years, but when, you know, when he gets to be about 70 years old or whatever, you look back at these moments and say, man, I really was selfish, and I missed the big picture here. And that's going to happen to him at some point. He'll realize it, but it's too late. And so it is what it is.
You think he can change his mind? I mean, I always joke, you guys are two peas in a pod, you two deep receivers. Stoke and T.O. Get him on the phone, you can talk him into it. Look,
no,
just go. Suck it up and go.
He's one of those guys that you can tell doesn't want to hear from anybody. He thinks he's always right, and I guarantee a lot of people have reached out to him, whether it's Jerry Jones, whether it's his old teammate Steve Young, who, you know, Steve Young's been very vocal about, you know, he's really...
Jerry Rice, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Guys just, he played with. Yeah.
Exactly. Just say, hey,
Dawkins.
Man, put this stuff aside, and you're going to really regret this down the line. So I'm sure a lot of people have told him this, but look, he wants to do it his own way, and he's going to do it his own way. And I'm glad that the NFL, the Hall of Fame, have kind of fought back and said, okay, you want to do it your way? Well, we're not going to give you your moment to shine here. We're going to just concentrate on the men that are here, and we're going to celebrate them and their careers, and you're just going to miss out on that. So if you want to do it your way, that's fine, but you know what? You're not going to be a part of these celebrations, and we're not going to honor you like we honor everybody else. So kudos to them. They're handling it the right way, and I'm glad that they are doing it this way.
We are live at the Blake Street Tavern, Rockies and Mariners tonight, 6:40. Antonio Sensatella has been scratched due to a blister, so Jeff Hoffman is going to get the start tonight in the Rockies' rare interleague showdown against the Mariners. The big news of the day, though, is the Nuggets adding Isaiah Thomas late last night, trading Kenneth Faried and Darrell Arthur, along with a first-round pick in next year's draft, which is top 12 protected, and a second-round pick the following year to Brooklyn. It's essentially a salary dump to clear out Arthur and Fareed's contracts and to bring in Isaiah Thomas. Stoke likes the move, you said. I like the way you described it. You said it was low risk, high reward.
Absolutely. You look at the potential and where he was in his career just a little over a year ago, and you're getting him for 1 year, $2 million. He's not going to be a cancer in the locker room. He's not going to be a distraction. He's going to help these young guys out. He knows his role. Mike Malone knows him well, so they have a relationship. I think it's such a good move by the Nuggets. Even if he doesn't get back to form, he won't be any kind of distraction to this basketball team. And you look at the other moves that they made right after by dropping Fareed
and Darrell Arthur
and losing those contracts and just saving a lot of money. And they did have to give up that first-round pick, which I normally don't like to give up. But you look at pairing those two with Wilson Chandler and then saving about $90 million. Raj, is that correct?
$90 million. If you include the cap, the luxury tax.
And
the tax, you save $90 million
overall
between these trades and the Wilson Chandler.
I mean, big money. That's big money, and sometimes you make mistakes, and you know you pay for it a lot more when you make those mistakes in basketball and baseball when the full contracts are guaranteed. Mm-hmm. And you look at the contracts that they gave those guys, and especially Fareed, and you're not seeing any minutes from this guy, no contributions, and what kind of guy was he in the locker room to these young guys? It was time to move on. And you save yourself some money at the same time, and you got a good young group. And I love the addition of Isaiah Thomas, and I also like the subtractions of these other guys. And the Nuggets are moving in the right direction here.
You know, I've seen on the RamosLaw.com text line, you can text us 303-713-1043, you know, why should I care? It's not my money. You know, it's the Kroenke. And
right,
that's true, I get it. But there is a reason you should care, because it is going to influence decisions. Because I'll tell you what, if the Nuggets, let's say they just missed the playoffs again this year, or even there's like an AC, something like that, okay? It is a lot easier for ownership to stomach that when you're not paying $90 million in luxury tax, whereas when you are, it can be easy to say, you know what, I'm done with this, let's blow it up, and go the opposite direction. It puts an undue pressure on the situation because the salary is that much higher. The fact that they're back under the luxury tax, they're kind of well within their means, I think it puts the team on a more natural progression. So I think it is a good thing if you're a fan. And look, it doesn't mean they won't be over the luxury tax in the future. Now, they haven't been since Carmelo was here, but if this team continues to grow and develop, and then that big-name guy comes around later that you really do think can put you over the top and he wants to come here, then you go into the luxury tax.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And, you know, this team, are they going to compete for a championship next year? No, they're not. Will they be that team to compete for a championship maybe in 3 years? Possibly. And that's when you can go out there and be a little bit more aggressive and spend over the luxury tax. But if you're over the luxury tax this year with this team, that, you know, will be hopefully a mid-playoff team that won't have a chance to win a championship, and then you correspond that, where are you going next? It only gets more and more. Every year you continue to go over it, you pay more and more of a penalty. on this luxury tax bill. And so that's a situation that you find yourself in. So you free yourself up from that. You put yourself in a good situation in a couple years to be able to be aggressive then. And if you want to pay the luxury tax then it's worth it. But right now it's not worth it. So don't do it, because then you kind of handcuff yourself in future years.
And so now they're back under it. The team, I think, is essentially filled out. This is what it's going to be. It's going to be fun to see how this team gets together. Because, look, Mike Malone's under a lot of pressure. He's in the last year of his deal. He is the definition of a lame duck coach.
Yes.
He didn't get an extension. If you go back to when George Karl was fired, a big part of that was he was going into the last year of his deal. They didn't want to extend him because they hadn't had playoff success. But they didn't want to deal with a lame duck coach.
Sure.
Usually you either get the extension or you're gone. He's going to be here in the last year of his deal. A lot of pressure.
It is a lot of pressure, but I think if you ask Mike Malone right now, they've given him all the pieces to be successful.
And it looks like he asked for Isaiah Thomas, so they're trying to give him.
Why would you not want Isaiah Thomas to be your backup, and you get him at 1 year, $2 million?
And he's got a relationship with him.
And you have a relationship, a previous relationship, so you know what you're getting from that guy. But they've given him all the pieces to be successful this year. They have a real, real opportunity to go out there and have a great year. And so, you know, if he doesn't get it done this year, and I think if he was sitting right here, he'd say, look, I deserve to go. I don't deserve to be here any longer. So this is the year to get it done. This is the year to get in the playoffs. And you look at his situation. I mean, what more would you want than this group right now that they have, a good young nucleus moving forward and a great opportunity to go out there and be really, really successful this year? And then what will you get after that? I mean, then you can piggyback that with a 3 or 4 year contract and set yourself up nicely with a really, really young core of guys
that you've already
forward,
coached up.
That you've already
years,
coached
yeah.
up. And so he's in a great situation. I look at his situation and say, yes, he is in the last year of his deal. And a lot of times coaches like to be extended and have that security. But, man, if you're going to be in your last year of your deal, you would love to be in the situation that Mike Malone's in.
I'm Ron Sharon in for Zach Byatt, Stokely and Zach. We're at the Blake Street Tavern. So here's my question for you, Stoke. Wrote this down earlier. Who's the most exciting addition in Denver this year? Is it Isaiah Thomas? Is it Michael Porter Jr.? Is it Bradley Chubb? Or is it Case Keenum? Which guy are you most excited about that's here in town? I didn't say who's the best signing.
Right.
I said which one are you most excited about?
What's the most important position in all of sports?
Goalie in hockey.
Did you tell me a goalie in there?
No,
is there a goalie in there?
No, it's the quarterback.
Yeah, it is a quarterback, and so it's Case Keenum. Man, I'm so excited to see him under center for the Broncos, and just to see how he responds after last year. And can he continue to build off that? And do we have our quarterback, hopefully, of the next, you know, 5-10 years here? And I understand he only has a 2-year deal, but if he goes out and has a good year, they'll lock him up long term. And that would be exciting to know that you have your quarterback in place for a long time. And so I look at the addition of Case Keenum and maybe the problem or issue that he could solve for this organization and this team for the long term. And not have to worry about, you know, worry about talking about Paxton Lynch or developing Paxton Lynch or talking about drafting the quarterback in the first round or drafting the quarterback in the third round and not having to deal with that anymore. This is what Case Keenum could bring to the table. I'm excited about his addition, and I'm excited about watching him this year because it could be a huge, huge addition for the Broncos, obviously, because, look, he plays the most important position in sports, and if he's able to solve that issue for them, for the Broncos, man, it's all a lot of problems.
When I wrote it, I thought Keenum was the easy one, again, because you're saying he's the quarterback, like as you mentioned, and he's coming in to fix things. But having seen him practice and having seen him play, I think he could be very good, but I don't know if he like excites me. You know what I mean? Like when Peyton Manning.
Well, you don't
here,
like completions. You don't like touchdowns.
I like,
you don't like
no,
moving
no.
the chains. I mean,
those
what do you
are
mean excitement? I mean, well, he's not going to go out there and throw for 350 a game.
Right.
Or
that's
400 a game. Right.
And that's I didn't ask what's the best signing. I asked which one of you most
excited.
Well,
I like to win games.
About.
I like to win games.
You think you're going
to
win a lot of games with Case Keenum?
I think he can because he's just a consistent quarterback that will go out there and get the job done. It might not be flashy, but a guy like Alex Smith that just, you know, goes out there and finds a way.
Alex Smith's like the opposite of the word exciting.
But I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because Alex Smith is a winning quarterback. And Alex Smith did a really good job in Kansas City. They are in the playoffs every single year. Now, did they win a Super Bowl? No. But right now, I'd take that type of quarterback here in Denver. And you don't have to be a guy that goes out there and lights up the scoreboard. Just take care of the football. Give me enough points on the board to win games with a great defense. That's exciting for me, Raj. I like to win.
I do, but I'll tell you the one that got me.
Let me see. Let me guess. Let me guess.
You're gonna guess. So we're asking the most exciting addition in Denver. The choices are Case Keenum, Bradley Chubb, Isaiah Thomas, and Michael Porter Jr.
You're such a Nuggets fan.
I'm a fan of all the Denver teams.
No, I know, but you got your Mellows on today.
That's right,
I mean,
Mellows.
Look, you keep on, you know, you were so excited the last couple weeks because you thought Mello might have a chance to come back to town.
Well, I had heard that. Well, what had happened is I had heard
Mello's never coming back
to town. A year ago, it was very close to happening, but that was before what went down in Oklahoma City this year.
Exactly. He's done. And I would be ashamed of the Denver Nuggets if they brought Mello back.
That's strong.
No, I'm dead serious.
Ashamed?
Yes, because of how he's forced his way out of town, and now we're going to welcome him back for a farewell tour whenever he stinks. I mean, give me a break.
Shame.
There we go. Shame. Yes, I would be ashamed of the Denver Nuggets. You heard me right, Raj, if they welcomed broken down, old, no good, can't shoot, can't play defense Carmelo Anthony back in town. I say you picked, man, it's down to two. It's
so
not
Case
Isaiah
Keenum,
Thomas.
Bradley Chubb, Isaiah Thomas.
It's not
Michael
Isaiah
Porter
Thomas.
Jr.
It's either Bradley Chubb or Michael Porter Jr.
You are correct. Those are the two I was picking between.
Yeah, I'll go with you're excited about Michael Porter Jr.
Yes. Yeah. That's my pick. And my reason for that is because I think he's got the highest upside of any of the four names, and I think he can make the biggest impact, which I know sounds silly because Keenum's a quarterback, but I do have kind of a ceiling in my mind of what Case Keenum can
right.
be, which is like a really good quarterback.
But he's not going to be Peyton Manning or Tom Brady.
He's not going to be Peyton Manning or Tom
Michael
Brady.
Michael Porter Jr. could be
a top 10 NBA player.
Right.
And that's what has me excited.
I mean, they had him as his number one overall pick last year before he got the injury and other things happened. But
I look
he
at
has
the
that
Nuggets,
type of potential.
And I think they've got a good young core with Jokic and Gary Harris and Jamal Murray and company, but I kind of see the ceiling for that. I kind of compare them with like a Utah right now, like I think comparable. If that pick hits where it could, that bumps them up a notch in terms of franchise status. And I think that's why I'm most excited. I was close with Bradley Chubb.
Right.
Because I think Bradley Chubb could have a Hall of Fame, Terrell Suggs kind of career. But Porter, there's something. But he's also the biggest risk maybe.
Sure.
But
you got him at 14.
Well.
You got him at 14.
Right,
so
right.
It wasn't like you got him top five. And you got the potential that he ends up being a special, special player that you can build your team around. That type of transcendent top, you know, where usually you don't get those guys at 14. And you're able to get your hands on him. It's worth the risk. But he has such an upside. If he lives up to those expectations, could you imagine?
He could be the best draft pick since Mello, Stoke.
Oh, goodness. I was trying to get happy. I was starting to get excited.
Hey, look. How can you blame me? I watched the guy win a bunch of games here. I liked it.
I got you. How did you feel when he forced his way into New York and he forced his way out of Denver? He wanted the bright lights. He wanted the big stage. Denver wasn't good enough for him anymore.
How did
you feel about that, Raj?
Because I think that's
you
a
forgot
narrative.
About that.
No, I think that's part of a narrative that isn't the
I'm
whole
I'm making
story.
That up?
I think it's part of a narrative that isn't the whole story. Remember the luxury tax conversation we had earlier? How do you think Carmelo felt about Stan Kroenke saying he's never going to go over the luxury tax again when he's watching super teams being built across the NBA? Just kind of keep that in mind.
I haven't thought about that, Ross.
That's it. It's been a long time since then. I'm positive. Stoke trying to be just like the happy memories, game-winning shots. Do you remember how bad the Nuggets were before he got here?
But see, Carmelo was never a team guy to start with. He was always an eye guy. And that's how I viewed him. And I viewed him like we were talking about earlier. When things are going well, you know, he's a good teammate. But when things are going bad, right, yeah, when things are going bad, he's an awful teammate. He's all about himself.
Right. But see, I don't know that in Denver, as far as in Denver, because all he did was win when he was here. They're a playoff team every – I mean, we're talking about can they maybe finally get back to the playoffs. They were a playoff team every year back then. So, you know, I'm just looking more at the positive – memories.
Well, hopefully
it,
that's the case with Michael Porter Jr. because he has that type of upside. And to get a guy like that at 14, that could really change the fortunes of your franchise for a long time.
By the way, shout out to 728-838 on the RealmosLaw.com
text line. Put your name on it.
Taking my back. Mello could have left for nothing. He made sure the Nuggets got something in return. Should be celebrated in this city. It's my guy right there.
Well, how did that benefit Mello?
He got more money out of
it. Exactly. Thank you.
Stoke, what you got
so it benefited
him.
okay, by what did he do, a sign-and-trade?
They did a sign-and-trade.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So he got more money. If he leaves without doing the sign-and-trade, he can't sign for that much money with New York. So it worked out for him.
It worked out for him.
So and from the 7-2 or whatever,
got a lot,
right back
a
at nice you, buddy.
Piece, nice package of trades back. What you got going on this
yeah.
weekend?
This weekend, me and my oldest are hanging out for a while. My wife and my youngest are going on vacation. I dipped out on vacation and not going this year, so I'm staying around and we're just going to hang out. I'm going to watch some baseball. Got to turn our last baseball tournament. Thank the Lord. I'm ready for this thing to be over, and this is it, our last one. So just hanging out, gonna relax a little bit, watch a lot of baseball, and I think that's it. How about you? You got any big plans?
I got a 13-month-old. You know what I'm doing.
Yeah, you're not doing a whole lot.
I'm not doing a whole lot.
You're not doing a whole lot.
Zach will be back in next week. He was obviously on the morning show early this morning, filling in for Mike Evans. Blake
wants to give a shout-out.
Oh, we got a shout-out from Carsey, right?
Hi, I want to give a shout-out to Brandon Stokely for doing the hard work. I love you, Mommy. Have fun.
There you
There's
go.
The shout
There's
out
the shout
Carson.
Out from my man. Giving the shout out to me. Thank you, Carson. I love you, buddy.
Blake Street Tavern is going to be opening early on Sunday morning for the World Cup.
Who you got? France, Croatia. You didn't even know who was playing. I'm just kidding. I got Croatia.
We're doing it for Tony Kukoc. All right, there we go.
Tony
Big out, D-Mac. They're up next.